Hallelujah. Well, let's see. All right. I got enough time to preach. That's all right, though. Do you know why? Because we're called to do. See, it's been a huge problem for quite a few years that everybody else, like the song, somebody else can do it. You know, I grew up hearing, somebody else's son can do that. You know, that was in reference to serving. Well, guess what? It can't always be everybody else's son. Sometimes it's got to be yours. Sometimes it's got to be you. Sometimes you got to do something. You just can't sit back and say, well, somebody else will do that. If you see a problem and you can remedy it right then, do it. Don't wait for God to come down and kiss the earth and you get caught in a smack. Be the reason he's kissing the earth. If we do that, I think we'll start seeing a whole lot more power flowing through the body of Christ, because that's when love starts to flow. Amen. All right, so Romans chapter 8. Last time, I ended because the Holy Spirit said shut up, so I did. But now we're going to go back about 15 verses beyond further than I was. So I know why now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now here's the thing, so many people, I don't walk under that condemnation, brother. Yeah, but you live a sinful life. Do you know what condemnation is? Condemnation is the weight of a debt owed. That's what condemnation is. Anybody ever taken your car to the shop? Remember the anticipation when you're going to get that bill? Oh boy, what's this going to be? Oh, that's condemnation. It's that weight of a debt you owe. But if you're walking in Jesus Christ, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're no longer fulfilling the flesh. There is no debt. See, you're obeying God now. You're not obeying your flesh. Flesh says, I want this, I want that. Well, we all know what happens. Flesh leads to death. We'll get there in a minute. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law was weak. That's why it was there. All it did was dealt with fleshy things. It couldn't fulfill anything spiritual. It's entirely about the flesh. Don't have any snags in your tunics. Don't get a tattoo. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. How did it make them holier? It was just a set of rules. That's all it was. God knew that. And God was trying to get everybody to understand you cannot live by law. So, you know what? There's a speed limit, right? There's a good reason we have a speed limit. Is there a time to break it? My opinion, yeah. You're trying to get somebody to a hospital. You know, as far as I understand, even the EMS and cops are not supposed to break the speed limit. You know what? If I'm the one or one of mine or the one they're coming for, you break it. I give you permission. Violate the law. Speed. Get here. I need you now. I don't need you following an Amish buggy down the road because there's two solid lines. Go around it. But no, we got people, they love law. We love law. Our flesh loves because we love to break it. I will attest, I have a few speeding tickets passed. I have a truck with a 200 mile an hour speed limit or speedometer. I don't ever want to be in a pickup truck doing 200. I'll tell you that right now. But I obey the law. I do go with what the law will let me. Let me back this up. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Like I said, there's a time to speed and just follow the law. It's not a big deal. We got people, during that blizzard the other morning, I couldn't believe, I'm reading a news report from the Ohio State Highway Patrol. Somebody on 71 doing 90 miles an hour. Why? Wait, look, roads were level 2 then. I don't know about you, but level 2, I slowed way down. Level 1, I considered a whole lot more. But people want to break the law just because they can. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. If you're thinking of a way right now to sin, you're going to do it. If you're supposed to not be eating something and you're planning on right now going and eating it, that's sin. You're giving into your flesh. I know I've got a friend who had battled weight a long time ago. And he said, I finally got it off. He said, but the way I got it off is how I had to change my mind of what I was eating. Can anybody guess what his hang-up was? Sweets. He said, I had to change my mind of how I looked at it. It is now sin to me. I remember he said that one time. He said, nope, that's sin. And I'm like, huh. That's how he had to look at it. He had to look at the sugar as sin because it threw the weight on him and he couldn't lose it until he changed his mind. What are you dealing with? Huh? Maybe you're somebody who keeps getting pulled over every 2 weeks. It's sin. It's costing you good money. I don't know about you, but my last ticket was $200. And I wasn't trying to violate the law. See, when we are constantly thinking about sin, what we can do to make our flesh happy, right now I know. I mean, Monica made that delicious looking apple stuff this morning, and I looked at Rob and I said, that looks so good and I want some. But I can't have any. Because I was bad last night. I had a bowl of marshmallows and stars cereal. And you talk about sugar. But I have to regulate that now. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, if all you're ever thinking about is how to satisfy my flesh, well, I'm going to go sleep with that person. Or I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go snort that. I'm going to go inject this. I'm going to drink that. Can anybody tell me what they all have in common? Death. Do you know what you don't get out of a monogamous relationship? VD. Do you know what you don't get by not snorting and injecting things? You bypass death. Drinking? Pastor, I'm not telling you anything that's not in the Bible. I've told you time and time again. The Bible does not say you can't have a drink. But Paul did say to be drunk is sin. I couldn't control it. And now personally, if you're in front of me drinking it, you're kind of making me mad because you don't care enough about me. Because there's times I thought, oh, I'd like to have a drink. I just forget about how mad I am right now about everything, you know. We all know what alcohol really does. It doesn't take away the problem. You just forget about it for a couple hours. And there's some people, they can't ever forgive their past, so they just keep getting drunk. Anyhow, So we cannot keep walking around finding ways to make sure that our flesh is fat and happy. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now let me stipulate this with this. I have met people, they are so spiritually minded, they're absolutely no earthly good. Oh, brother, I don't worry about that anymore. So you're not going to go eat? Oh, my food is from the Lord, brother. Okay, so you're not going to feed your body. Well, I just don't think about it. Isn't that bull? Of course you're going to think about that. Right now you're thinking about where you're going to eat, because I am. You're all thinking about that. Some of you have already got plans. Some of you are like, oh, do I go Mexican? Do I go Wendy's? That's exactly what we do. All you're trying to do is tell people you're more spiritual than them. And you're not. To be spiritually minded means also to be obedient to the Spirit. Hey, I need God. You okay, we'll do this. Thank you, Lord. You gave me that example last night. Right now, you're thinking now, because I said it, of where you want to eat. And you're thinking, okay, you know, Wendy's, I could do a number six spicy chicken sandwich. That's my go-to. There's one right down the road. It's 7 miles from here. But God might tell me, you can have that, but that's not the Wendy's I want you to go to. I want you to go to the one north of Mansfield. God, I don't want to drive to Mansfield for a chicken sandwich. I just won't eat. Well, see, what you're going to do is you're going to mess up the opportunity God set for you, for somebody in that Wendy's up there. You disobeyed the Spirit. You're not spiritually minded. You're carnal, because all you were thinking about is, I don't want to drive. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, I could do that, but I don't really know if I want to do that in June. I don't want to be around a bunch of kids. Why not? You were a kid once. You were just as annoying as they are. We all were. We were all obnoxious. And if you think you weren't, yeah, some of us might have been a little more than others. Anyhow, but to be spiritually minded means also listening to what God is trying to tell you about right now, about the future. That's what the whole point of the Holy Spirit is. The filling of the Holy Spirit is to lead you into righteousness, to lead you and to even kind of show you some things. He's not going to tell you what's going to happen verbatim every time, but sometimes God may show you to do something. I remember a time we'd been working and on the other house, and you know, things have kind of got tight, and I think I changed jobs at that point, and I was like, ooh, okay, Lord, things are really tight. I'm self-employed now. Work, if there's no work, I don't eat. That's just how it works. And anyhow, I had an extra $50. Y'all remember when $50 made you feel rich? I was like, woohoo, I got an extra $50. And God says, I want you to give it to this person. God, that's my $50. He said, if you give it to this person, they'll give their heart. We took them some groceries because they needed groceries. And I put $50 in that bag. That Sunday morning, he was in church and was there every day until the church closed its doors. That's God. By the way, you know what God has done for me? He's blessed me. No, I'm not driving a Ferrari. Maybe once I'd like to do that. Maybe once. After having a Mustang, I'm like, they ride like go-karts. I've kind of changed in my thinking. I like cushy rides. Big shocks, big tires, absorb all that. Last one was in her car. I slow down in my truck. But anyhow, by doing that, my greatest desire is for my children to be blessed. Above me. And guess what? My children are blessed. I'm watching them extend themselves into serving God more and more, drawing closer to God in their walk. And God is blessing them. And every time they're obedient, God just goes, thank you, Father. That's what spiritually minded is being. But it also, see, spiritually minded means you're going to do something. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. Hey, stop and say hi to that person. You know what? Maybe you just need to stand here and hold the door open for a while for some people. It's not going to hurt you. You get to say hi, smile at people. Maybe that one person, maybe the last person through the door was thinking about killing themselves. But your smile, your greeting changed their mind because nobody would talk to them. See, we all want to jump out there and say, well, Jesus, I'm going to get up and I'm not going to preach until I got 10,000 people to preach to. Listen, you're not ever going to preach to 10,000 people. You know why? Because you're stupid. Because it's one. Jesus said, I would leave 99 behind to go get one. The one. Well, I don't know. It's kind of a high price. What if that one was your child? You'd be all over that, wouldn't you? Oh, Jesus, go get him, please. Well, he's going to use somebody. But let's pray he's not using somebody as hard-headed as you are. Right? I don't want to do that. That's out of my comfort zone. Everybody has to get... Do you think this was my comfort zone? Nope. I've told you before, I didn't even like you. I didn't like people. So how am I going to get up here and talk to you? God had to change my heart. It's not my comfort zone to be up here. Can I do it easily now? Yeah, I've been doing it for 25 years, so it's quite easy now. But before, there was a reason I stood behind the pulpit. It was holding me up. It was keeping my guts inside because they were trying to escape. Anyhow, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Your mind, it's the enemy of God. You can't rule it in. That's why you struggle with all that stuff. Until you start, first off, you start walking spiritually and throw off the condemnation. The condemnation is what keeps pulling you back. You messed up, great. I heard Joyce Meyer say this yesterday. She said, anytime I've messed up, I know I'm already forgiven. I said, Lord, I receive your forgiveness for my stupidity now. And this must have been one of her later ones because I think that's about how she put it. She was saying some things yesterday. I was like, wow, that's just right there. It's where it needs to be, gut level. And I receive your forgiveness, Father. He's already forgiven your sins. Do you know when there is no longer a forgiveness? When you're not repentant of it. I just read of a person the other day. Unfortunately, he was in the church. He was arrested and here in the state of Ohio. I can't remember exactly where. But he was arrested for child pornography and molestation of 14 kids. You know what his reply was? Well, all my sins are forgiven. The sins I did yesterday, today, and tomorrow, they're all forgiven. I'm sorry, but you're not repentant. And in my book, I'm going to follow what Jesus said. We're going out in the middle of the ocean in my boat with a brick and a chain. And you're going for a swim. He was not repentant of his sin. Not one bit. That's what he had to say in court. Not, I'm sorry for the lives I've destroyed. He was more worried about his own skin. And you know my opinion on that. I think I just shared it. I won't share that. My boys all know it. We talk about it from time to time. That sounds painful. But your mind cannot ever be saved. It's always going to be against God until this mortal body is dead. That part dies completely. And at the resurrection of the saved, we're raised a whole new creation. All those things you struggled with, the bitterness you had, the anger problems you had, envies, jealousies, lying, all of that is finally dead. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we keep walking in the flesh, we keep doing what the flesh demands. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's a demand. That's why I ate that bowl of cereal last night. The soup had wore off. It was gone. And I'm like, I'm hungry. I sat down, I ate that. I ate a little mandarin orange. Then I got up and made a sausage sandwich. Then I had two Reese cups. That was disciplined, just so you know. I wanted four. But I was also hungry. My belly was saying, you ain't had enough calories today. But I'm hungry. Man, that eating at night is kind of might as well just cut your Achilles and walk around all goofy because my britches ain't fitting like they used to. But folks, I'm going to end here. We can't keep living by the flesh. It's by the Spirit. And if you're not listening to the Spirit, you got to start obeying. When God says jump, don't ask him how high, just do it. There's a reason. You don't have to jump high. Maybe it's just a whoop. If you're walking along in the woods and somebody says duck, what are you going to do, look around for quack, quack, quack? Anybody's ever got clocked by a tree understands when somebody in front of you says duck, they've got the sapling bent and they're letting it go. We used to love doing that to each other on patrols. You find out who was watching and who wasn't. Living by the Spirit does not mean that we are so in tune that we were rude. Do you know why people sometimes don't like Christians? It's because we're rude. It's not being rude. And the sad part is we're just as rude to each other. I've told Angela over the years, I said, well, I like this person. I don't like that person at all. I said, even before they got saved, I really wouldn't have liked them. But if this is what they are saved, no thank you. I just don't like people like that. I like people who are, one, they're honest, but they're sincere. If you got to have correction coming from somebody, I hope it's somebody who's sincere about loving you. Because people who have no attachment to you don't love you. Just all there is to that. We can say things to each other that if you were to say to me, I might not like you. But her, I swore before 300 people and God that I would love her. till I died. Or she died. Yeah, y'all know we've joked about that over the years, right? So divorce wasn't an option, but we each said, thought about killing the other, but just prison didn't seem like a good option either. But God wants to do so much more in you. Start listening to what he's saying. You know, Phyllis, I'm going to use you on this one more time. When she's like, who can do this? Honey, he said, dear, I have sent you to 100 of these. You are ready. You do it. And that's exactly what's needed to happen. It wasn't the individual church supposed to do all this stuff. It's people. The people are supposed to be doing this. Food shelters. Clothing pantries. All of that. What happens if every church has a food pantry? Doot, 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 doot. It's all people do. But you know what? We don't. We support those. By not doing that, we can help support them. We can help support garages that work on people's cars, homeless shelters, clothing shelters, women's shelters, safe harbor for people who have been rescued from human trafficking. That's the stuff we can do. Because somebody else is doing that part of it. So don't ever think that, well, I'm just gonna be spiritual here and not do anything. Get off your butt and do something. If not you, then who? Amen. Let's stand. Make sure you're praying for your country this week. Every day. I don't care what you think about things that are going on. You pray. Ask God to get involved. We're here because we kicked God out. We kicked him out of the schools. We started kicking him out of our government. Oh, by the way, we kicked him out of the church. We kicked him out of the church when we started saying, God, we're just going to allow sin to rule. You know, if the Bible called it sin, it's still sin. That's just all there is to it. But there's so many ignorant things that are happening in the church today. And God's exposing it. Because it's not right. So be praying. Anyhow, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you today. Lord, every one of us, I don't believe there's a person in here who wants to be a carnal Christian. Lord, we don't want to be led around by the snout. We want to be led by your Spirit. Father, I thank you right now for the change that you're doing in each and every one of us. Start right here, Father. Lord, those who are bound by condemnation, reveal to them the truth, Lord God, that if they have received you, they are no longer bound by that condemnation. Conviction's one thing. Condemnation is a totally different beast. But Father, help them to receive your forgiveness. Because we didn't change in your eyes just because we fell down. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Better yet, Lord, I thank you for your children. Because it's those who receive Jesus Christ who are your children. Lord, bless them here today. Those who are watching at home, bless them, Father. Lord, go before them. Make straight their paths. Silence the enemy against them, Lord, and raise up that standard that stops the flood. In Jesus' name, amen.